It's 7 Late Hand Extra. Brought to you by Good Game St. James. Ahoy! Spoilers! Like bikini lines on an East German nudist beach in the 1970s, we have more spoilers than you care to look at.
That's gross.
That's gross. Khans of Takia is nearly here. It won't be for the faint-hearted. We'll be dropping the K-word a lot today. So all you Khans, get ready. We're a mob of Khans called 7 Late Hand. All of this plus flavor text and G-card quiz. Listen to feedback. And hey, we've got a bit of Interpod banter.
Did you say a bit of Interpod banter?
A bit of Interpod banter. I didn't screw it up, did I? A bit of Interpod banter. With the guys from Matt Mattingly's Ice Cream Social.
Ooh. You didn't get it wrong. I just like to say a bit of Interpod banter.
Yeah, it's a good word to say. Yeah. Three
also,
words to say quickly.
Khans of Takia is nearly here.
It's nearly here. Oh, but who is that voice? The biggest Khans of all are here.
What?
Yeah, Aaron, Fuzzy Khan Graham.
My Khan is extremely fuzzy.
Yeah, it is. And, oh, talk about a bearded Khan. It's Kian DeVries Turnell. The bearded Khan.
The biggest Khan of them all.
He could braid his Khan.
Sadly.
It's just the same. Anyway, gentlemen, how are we?
I'm all right. Yeah. Been a bit sickly this week, so I might be a bit nasal, but otherwise, yeah, nice.
Yeah, my wife lost her voice this morning. And she looks at me and she goes, it just happened so quickly. She didn't say it like that, did she? Which I interpreted as the subtitles popped up and I thought, it happened so quickly. And I thought, fuck, we've got a podcast tonight. It's not going to work if I can. Yeah, anyway.
We'll catch up with you tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow, yeah. I can be sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Khans of Takia?
Takia.
Takia. Not Takia.
Not Takia.
So it's not Khans of Ikea?
No.
No. Okay.
It's a good way to remember it.
I was looking for that guy. You know, I was in there that time and I was like, what's the difference between this blacked shelving and this Blick shelving? And he just wouldn't tell me because it was just like, he said it's too obvious. Honestly, it was...
Well, how did that go down?
I just walked in there and said, I was standing there looking at the stuff, right?
Is this you?
This is me. I was standing there and I'm looking at it and it's, you know, they've got ridiculous names, yeah. like black
Pawang.
Shelving. Pawang.
Pawang, that's
my favorite
standing
there and it's like the Pawang shelving's there, sure. and the black shelving's there. Yeah, I don't know. We're just needing some words, Ken.
We need Swedish sounding words.
So it's like, hey, man, what's the difference? I don't want to buy this if it doesn't go with this shelving. It looks the same. Is it the same? Can that work?
I'm not authorized to tell you that.
Yeah. I just need... is there a price difference between the two? Is like one more expensive than the other?
Security. Security. Someone's asking an intelligent question.
That looks like high lacquer.
The Blicked shelving is for the Blicked range. And the Blicked shelving is for the Blicked range.
Yeah, but what's the difference, man? I just need to know the difference.
One is from the Blicked designer.
Is it quarter inch?
Blick.
Yeah.
And the other one is from the Blicked designer.
Okay, give me a clue. Is one of them in a metric and one of them is in a imperial? Because I don't want to mix up systems.
They're,
you know,
both from IKEA. Yeah. You're in IKEA.
Give me a hot dog. Give me one of your hot dogs.
$1, please.
Yeah. And that's
have you had one of those $1 hot dogs from IKEA?
Yeah, man. You always do.
And a plate of meatballs.
Yeah,
horse meatballs.
Horse meatballs.
That's why they do the maze. Because you walk through there and you just go, oh, there's no way I'm getting a hot dog in this. And by the time you get to the end of the maze, you go, give me a fucking hot dog.
And a 50-cent cone.
Yeah, what else have you got? There's just some depressed Asian lady sitting there just hauling out these meatballs. And you're just going, oh man.
God. Get some of them inside me right now. I'm really hungry. I've been trapped in this maze.
All right, so now we've lost all of our friends at IKEA. We're back. We've got about 9 of the spoilers we're going to review today. Starting off with Anna Fenza the Foremost. She a sister of Inoffensive the Inferior?
Another good way to remember it. Inoffensive, yeah. the foreskin.
The least most.
The least.
The foreskin.
The foreskin.
Inoffensive foreskin.
Inoffensive the foreskin.
Yeah,
it is.
So what does this lady do?
So each of the clans of Takia, to be confused with the Khans of Takia, the Khans of Takia
the K word.
Are the leaders of each of these clans. So this is the leader of the Obzon clan. That's Abzan, apparently.
Oh, shit, we've got more clans. It's going to be like Boros.
It's
going to,
yeah,
you've
got to remember all these brand new clan names.
There's only five this
There's
time.
Only five this
Not
time.
Not 10.
Yeah.
And these are with the different color combinations.
Yeah, so these are the three color combinations that are opposite each other on the color wheel.
Ah, yeah,
so
gotcha.
White is the main color, and it's next to black and opposite from black and green,
right.
And that's the Obzon clan. Abzan. Obzon. I think that's how they pronounce it. Anyway,
I've been saying it Abzan. But hey, that's probably
wrong. No one said these words yet. So if we're the foremost podcast, which, as well as the best looking podcast,
Anna Fens are the foremost. And so each one of the clans has a legendary leader. Their Khan.
Yeah.
Khan's of Tarkir.
Gotcha, yeah.
And this Khan's name is Anafenza, the foremost.
Covered that. She's a legendary creature. She's a human soldier for three costs, which is a white, a black, and a forest. Or a plains, a swamp, and a forest. You get a 4/4, which that sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's already good.
Yeah. Whenever Anafenza, the foremost, attacks, put a +1/+1 counter on another target or tapped creature you control.
Yeah, so like all you need to do is play a 2-drop. Yeah. And then play Anafenza, say 2-drop in your green one. Say you play Fleece Mane Lion. It's a 3/3 or on 2 already. Play Anafenza on 3. When you attack on 4, she'll put another +1/+1 counter on another creature that you control because it's tapped because they're all tapped from attacking.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
So whenever it attacks,
I read out aloud attacks, I thought enters the battlefield.
Oh, okay.
Massive flaw in magic.
Less quite good.
That's why I thought it was a bit crack. So I was thinking, okay, you have to swing in with your 2-drop and it just gets annihilated and then second main phase, drop him in. Mm. But attacks is good because that's every friggin' round you're throwing +1/+1.
Yeah.
It also does. If a creature card would be put into an opponent's graveyard from anywhere, exile it instead.
Oh, now, this is doesn't make much sense at the moment. Yeah, it's graveyard hate. There's a black, green, white reanimator deck that's kind of in standard.
Also, much like Loxodon Smiter, most of her abilities mean nothing a lot of the time.
Because it's a 3-mana 4/4. And it's going to start pounding your opponent pretty quickly.
But it's still, if you can get the 3-mana out, I mean, it's each individual pip you need the card for.
Yeah.
It's still 3-mana 4/4 is good value with nothing else.
This one's really difficult to play off Elvish Mystic, which is the main way that you want to play these 3-drops on turn 2.
Yeah.
But you can't. The only way to do it is to play Llanowar Wastes, which is the pain land for black-green.
Yeah.
So you mana confluence.
And mana confluences. Oh, yeah, that's going to be a huge deal, actually. So all these lands that tap for 2 different colors on turn 1, if you follow that with an Elvish Mystic, and then turn 2 you can play this, which is pretty ridiculous.
Turn 2?
Turn 2 off of Elvish. Yeah, so Elvish Mystic, tap for green, cheating.
Otherwise known as your opponent just died.
Yeah, they take 4, they take 8, you play like a bunch of other stuff.
So no, because you get to attack with your Elvish Mystic, which then becomes a 2-2, then a 3-3.
Oh yeah, it's tapped from just tapping it for mana, that's sweet.
Alright, so skinny on this, are we excited? Thumbs up, thumbs down?
It's good, it's good. We're going to have to see how relevant that exile ability is, but like Kian said, it's good without
it. If graveyard decks go big, this guy's going to make a lot more appearances.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
thumbs up, thumbs down, Kian? You an
thumbs
offender?
Up.
Nobody's offended. An offender's not offended anyone. Yeah. All right, so Narset, Enlightened Master, he's 3 colorless. He's a island, he's a mountain, and he's a plains.
For he might object to the word he.
Is it a she?
It's a Narset.
I was just reading the text, hadn't got down to the picture. Look at the testicles on that woman.
Quite apparent in the artwork there.
Yeah, that's a flowing robe. I thought it was just like a huge phallus. No, anyway. legendary creature. Human monk. For a 3/2. Oh, so this is sounding real bad.
Sounding good so far.
I've spent 6 mana and I've got myself a 3/2. All right. She apparently has got First Strike and Hexproof. Everyone loves Hexproof, don't they?
Yeah!
Interactive.
Yeah. Whenever Narset, Enlightened Master, attacks, shouldn't she be a mistress? Master? Mistress? Master.
Oh, I don't think they. Everyone's an actor nowadays. An actress.
I've just been sexist and I just fell into a huge. I love
Enlightened Mistress just sounds super.
Yeah. We love our female listeners. I embrace
all of you mistresses and masters
all
out
mistresses,
there.
Yeah.
Also, might be a side point. I don't think they could have fit it on the card.
Yeah, true. With the cost. Okay. So 3/2 with First Strike, Hexproof. Whenever Narset, Enlightened Master, attacks, exile the top 4 cards of your library. Until end of turn, you may cast non-creature cards exiled with Narset this turn without paying the mana costs.
Okay, so yes.
Now I can see what
the costs. Free things are sweet.
So things that are free They've often made mistakes within the past. So this one, they put it 6 mana. They put it at a 3-2. First strike, sure, but it's pretty fragile. Like, if I have a Courser of Kryphix, that's just a 2-4, I'm going to be able to block this thing pretty easily, and it's going to die. But, like, the fact that you could potentially cast 4 free non-creature spells off this is insane.
And it's even if blue, she dies.
Even if she dies, yeah. So it's when she, it triggers when she attacks, then and you get to cast
blue,
the spells.
Heavy on the spells. Red, heavy on the burn spells. White, you got some pretty good ramping spells.
Not to mention, blue and red both got artifacts in
M15. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you can
artifacts.
Cast non-creature spells. And the big thing, attack with Narset, Exile, Jace, Elspeth, Chandra.
Sarkhan.
Cast 4 planeswalkers off my one creature attacking for free.
Dude, that would, they would be Sarkhan real bad.
Yeah. That day would Sarkhan after that.
We'll have to edit that line out.
All I think Aaron might have just entered Magical Christmas Land.
Magical Christmas Land.
Yeah, I heard the bells.
I think you can get 2 planeswalkers off this easy and you've just crushed the game from there. Like,
I can't believe it. So you can just get a planeswalker out there for free. Yeah, that's nice. All right.
Each time it attacks as
so well. We're in love with this card, Aaron?
Yeah, loving it. It's
Ken,
awesome.
Still? You
I want foils in me right now.
It's super slow, but it's powerful. Like,
yeah, you're not going to get many rounds with it, are you? I mean, at least you get a good chance to get your colored pips together by the time the 6 drop comes around.
But like the fact that she has hexproof, I think a lot of people are going to be playing Anger of the Gods after this, and like you can Anger of the Gods this away pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But if you get an attack in with it, you're going to be pretty good in most situations.
But if you're attacking on round 7, on turn 7, and you've got a 3-2.
Turn 6 is a lot better. So, like, if you have anything that gives her haste, so like Hammer of Perforos or something like that, she obviously gets way better.
The sooner you we'll can have get her to, out, yeah.
We'll have to see, but the potential is there. And the word free, you know, ding ding.
If she comes out au naturel, and by that I don't mean naked, although look at the picture. I mean on turn six, you attack with 7.
Attack on 7.
You're dead straight away. You get one crack at 4 cards.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Sadisi. You see, Sadisi. Anyway, the Brood Tyrant. He's 1 colorless for a swamp and a forest and island. Sorry, I'm looking at black and white.
Oh, I forgot to mention Narset, the last card that we looked at, is the
guy.
Khan
you
of
said
the...
Guy?
Last card we looked at. is the leader of the Jeskai clan, which is blue, white, red.
Thanks for that, Aaron. High
definitely
five.
The best.
All right, Sadisi, Brood Tyrant, 1 colorless, a swamp, a forest, an island. You got a legendary creature, Naga Shaman. Ooh, we all know what these Naga Shaman are like. A 3-3. Whenever Sadisi Brood Tyrant enters the battlefield or attacks, now we're talking, put the top 3 cards of your library into your graveyard. Oh, Sadisi's going to love playing against Anafenza. Whenever 1 or more creature cards are put into your graveyard from your library, put a 2-2 black zombie creature token onto your battlefield. So you're populating your battlefield with zombies and you're stocking up your graveyard for a bit of...
for a bit of delve action,
which delve
is
action.
One of the returning mechanics in this.
Yeah, it's also a 70s band that I enjoyed listening to when I was... But anyway. I think he was the bass player for...
Sadisi Brood Tyrant was the
bass
player.
What was that cycle
for...
we were listening to? The something cycle. Anyway, forget about it. You know, a couple episodes where we were doing the spoilers and we came up and there was the something cycle.
Oh, shit. No, it's gone now. I can't remember.
It's a great name for a band. Yep. Anyway, delve action.
Apnap. No, it wasn't Apnap.
No, that's the OCAX you're thinking of.
OCAX, yeah, I was thinking of OCAX cycle.
Yeah, maybe Delve Action's playing bass for the OCAX these days. Yeah. Follow
OCAX,
that.
So
Follow
good.
OCAX is great, isn't he? All right, so back to Sadisi. What's this dude going
to
do?
Yeah, so this is the Khan of the Sultai clan, which is graveyard-based.
Yeah.
A couple things to note about this one. First of all, Naga, brand new creature type.
Oh, yeah.
In Magic,
See, I thought that was going to be his clan.
Naga are the humanoid snake people. They haven't given them creature types before. They had humanoid snake people on Kamigawa, but this is the first time they've given them their own creature type, so that's pretty cool. The Naga are pretty big in the blue-black-green clan. And
this helps us be a little bit more culturally sensitive as well, because if we ever run into a lizard man, you never call
him. Lizard man.
I'm a Naga. I'm not a lizard man.
I'm a Nagarian.
Yeah, I'm a Naga.
Do you think they call Naga the N-word?
Ooh, maybe. In Magic Land.
In Magic Land.
Maybe they can only... Maybe these guys
don't,
can only...
Don't call me that.
Yeah, but they can do it to each other. Yeah. Yeah, that's all right, you know.
Hey,
so
Naga,
the Naga Shaman. Hey, what did you say?
You naggering at me?
Oh, come on.
Another thing to note about this, I thought this card was insane because it was for each creature card put into your graveyard from your library, but it says whenever one or more are put into your graveyard from your library. So you can only ever get one per instance of cards being milled.
I see. So you get one zombie.
So you get one zombie when... So,
so when, like, he, when he attacks and he does the battlefield, enters the battlefield, you get the three top cards if you go into your library.
But
and
even then, if it's three creatures, you want to
get one
zombie.
Yeah. Right.
And I feel like he suffers from a similar problem to Narset, is he's a 4-mana 3/3.
Yeah.
So when he's attacking, he's going to be entering the world of Pelucranoses and whatnot, and that's not the greatest.
He's going to get blocked the shit out of.
Fifth turn, 3/3.
But no, this is four. This is turn 4/3/3.
Good old hill drive.
I'm saying when you're attacking. Oh, you get the end of the battlefield benefit. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So you're happy with this one, Aaron?
I like this one a lot better than Narset. I think that it's in green, so you can ramp it out early.
That's true.
There's a lot
do
of self mill
thing.
Yeah. There's a lot of self mill in this set. No, in previous sets, in Theros, Born of the Gods, Journey to Nyx, there was some weird kind
stuff.
Of black green stuff. Yeah. And like, you can mill like a Nemesis of Mortals into your grave. Oh, like Whip of Erebos, this kind of stuff. Like, there's heaps of random reanimated things.
Yeah. I'm going to call you on that one, Aaron. That's wrong.
You're wrong?
I think it's good.
Why is Sidisi bad?
4-mana 3/3. It's a hill giant that doesn't always get you a zombie. You have to remember, Magic is a little bit about variance. If she doesn't mill a creature, you don't get anything.
But the other person has to have a counter spell to stop that from happening, because when it enters the battlefield, boom, zombie.
Oh, he's saying that you could just miss on the top three. There couldn't be a there might not be a creature in there.
Creature. God, we really need to read these cards.
Because it has to be a creature.
I see what you mean,
But like,
it's very conditional, isn't it?
Yeah, like, you're not going to be playing it in your blue-black-green control Planeswalkers deck, but if you have a blue-black-green... creature deck with
green,
like
heavy deck,
bit of ramp, some reanimation spells, some like creatures like Seder Wayfinder.
What are you playing
stuff?
Blue for? Like, I agree that there are definitely creature decks out there that would like this effect, but why is that effect in blue? You know, like, what does blue add to the table? Like, why aren't you playing like black?
Are you gonna be able to splash for blue in these kind of decks?
Oh,
is that gonna happen?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, you've got Sylvan Charioteer. You've got there's gonna be a lot of fixing in this set.
So if you
can
splash for blue, it would work. Because then you can go heavy black and green creatures. But playing solid blue,
yeah,
with this guy, you're gonna lose a lot of
spells. I do understand
what
you're saying. I'm not sure that this is worth a splash, because really it's a 3/3. Oh, you might get a 2/2, and then you might get another 2/2, and then like it might die, and then you have some 2/2s. Like, it's not great.
So it's very conditional, isn't it?
You might also want to splash for the card we're going to talk about next, which is very exciting.
Yeah. So have we turned you around on that, Aaron? Are you I guess
Narset will see more standard play than Sidisi, 100%.
Okay, all right, we'll see where that goes.
All right, we'll come back to that. All right, the next up is called Clever Impersonator. And I get the sense that Wizards have run out of ideas here for shapeshifter names. It's like he's called Clever Impersonator. He's a creature. He's a shapeshifter. So I'm looking forward to cards such as High IQ Copier coming out and Body Double Brainiac. Is another
There's
one.
There's a card called Body Double already.
Yeah, but Body Double Brainiac.
Body Double Brainiac.
Is smart. Cousin to
Smart Copy Man. Mirror Image that is wise. Wise Mirror Image. There we go. That's a good one.
All right. Well, Clever Impersonator is it? Yeah.
He's so clever.
Let's preface this with saying that it's a mythic rare.
Oh, is it a mythic rare?
It is a mythic rare.
Every card we've talked about so far has been a mythic rare.
That's good to know, because this black and white photocopy you handed me earlier.
What?
Oh, sorry, no.
No, we have a high budget here on
Clever, and we just bought a printer, color printer.
I didn't know I was allowed to use it until after I printed these.
Oh, man, we've really got to see Dave clear
increase
up.
Our funding.
Yeah. We're in the red, this podcast. Yeah. We're so in the red. We need to get some money coming in.
This one's blue, actually.
Right. So this Clever Impersonator is blue. Yeah, you can tell that because it's two colorless and an island and an island. Creature shapeshifter. I sounded like Kim Kardashian ordering a shopping list for the weekend, isn't
it?
I have an island.
You do that voice way too well.
No, I don't.
many seasons set in front of the Kardashian show.
The Kardashian show?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Is that, I don't know if that's what it's called. No, Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Is that actually a show?
The Kardashian show was, I just made one up, but I think Keeping Up with the Kardashians is real.
I learned today. I learned today that Kim Kardashian was like Paris Hilton's like helper at first. Like she used to do.
I went on holiday for a month.
I feel like when we're talking about this.
What has our podcast become? Let's catch up with the Kardashians.
Okay, so I don't know where she came from. Why is she famous?
Because she was Paris Hilton's friend. And no, she was a helper or something.
Was she just a rich person that was friends with Paris?
That's what I thought. But then today I found out that she would clean a room or something like that. And I don't know. This is bullshit. Nobody's coming to this podcast.
She slept with Kanye West and the video went viral.
Oh, then she had a sex tape.
No, her sex tape wasn't with Kanye West, though.
No. But
she's married to Kanye West now. What the fuck are we talking about?
Why are we talking about this? You become famous if you have a sex tape.
It might have been with a rapper.
Guess what we're doing right after this podcast.
Hey, Aaron. I'll see you later.
It's just us three.
Anyway, hey, clever Kardashian. I mean, clever impersonator.
I've got a feeling our sex tape might not go
I feel like if he ever impersonated the Kardashians, that's not clever.
Yeah. All right. Clever impersonator 2 and blue for a creature is a shapeshifter, and he's 0-0. Zero power, zero toughness. So let's
fails
look
the vanilla test.
Fails vanilla test, but we're going to get something, aren't we? You may have... Oh, yeah. Well, he's a shapeshifter. You may have Clever Impersonator enter the battlefield as a copy of any non-land permanent on the battlefield.
Oh, my God!
Right. Break this one down for
us. Okay, so... In the past, we've had the card Clone. It was an alpha. It's been all the way up to, like, M14 and stuff. You may have Clone enter the battlefield as any creature on the battlefield.
How is this any different?
So this is different because you can copy artifacts, enchantments...
Planeswalkers. Oh.
Yes. So you have a slightly harder to cast Clone, because Clone only costs one blue. Yeah. And this is two blue, but you can come down and copy their Elspeth. You can come down and copy their Banishing Light. You can come down and copy their artifact or whatever. Their god, yeah. Like, even when it's not a creature.
And at that cost, it's not a card you don't mind getting later on in the game.
No, exactly. Because you're paying four mana for what could potentially be a 6-7 mana thing.
This is sweet.
It's so good. You can copy hexproof creatures. You could copy their Narset because it doesn't target anywhere. It just enters the battlefield as a copy of it as well.
I think this is a very interesting card because someone actually called this card existing 12 months ago.
Really?
So someone posted on a forum.
That
wasn't
me just when I fucked up trying to cast Clone. I was like, I can do this shit.
I'll copy your Elspeth. It's just a creature, right?
Yeah. Mark Rosewood was right behind me making notes. That's a genius idea.
Yeah. Mythic rare.
As soon as they made the new legendary rule, someone posted about it in a forum. They were like, we haven't seen it yet, but at some point we will see a Planeswalker clone. And that's basically what this is. Like, the most important spells and the things that's going to be the coolest is when you clone someone's Planeswalker.
Yeah.
And that's what this card's going to do. And there's all sorts of modern and legacy and... all those types of applications for this card. You know, people are talking about chucking it in Birthing Pod and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, I already play Phyrexian Metamorph in Birthing Pod to copy some... You can copy your Birthing Pod with it, and this is just better in every way. Yeah.
So we love this card. All right.
It's one of my favorite cards from the set so far.
Can't wait to see it in foil.
Great stuff. All right, we've got Mantis Rider. He's an island, he's a mountain, he's a plains. So 3 cost for a 3/3. He's a creature, he's a human monk. Flying, vigilance, and haste, and a crap load of flavor text.
Yeah.
But surely a 3/3, and I'm thinking anyone that can ride a praying mantis is probably the size of an ant. Yeah. So how can it be a 3/3?
It's a giant mantis.
It doesn't say that.
It's not called giant mantis rider?
Does it say, no, there's no
regular
giant.
Regular mantis
here.
Rider.
It just says mantis, not even praying.
Hold on.
It's a peacenik mantis with a guy on his back, the size of an ant, and he's a 3/3. He's taken down.
He's powerful. He's
taken
got powerful
down
bears. Magics. Yeah.
His little tick. He's just going to bite and suck the blood out of you and annoy the shit out of you all day long.
I'm so sorry that we don't have the entire cycle of mantis riders, starting at the mini mantis rider, the normal mantis rider, the extra large mantis rider.
Tribal. I'm going tribal with mantis riders.
And for you out there who want the special mantis rider experience, we have the extreme mantis rider.
Zombie mantis rider. Okay, so that's it, isn't it? 3 for a 3/3, and he's got flying, he's got vigilance, he's got haste. That's a lot of abilities for a 3/3 for 3.
This is Mark Rosewater said they can't do. So Khans is a wedge set, but they can't do a wedge block. This wedges is
a wedge set. That reminds me when I was playing soccer once, and someone
wedge it in there,
like dacked me, and I felt like my set was really wedged in. But that's another story for another day.
So wedges are the colloquial name for these three color combinations because they look like a wedge across the color wheel.
Wow, a wedge. That really works when you do the hand thing.
A wedge,
yeah.
Everyone can see a wedge.
Yeah. Let's talk about visual things on the audio-only podcast. Yeah.
He said they can't do a wedge block because they just run out of stuff to do in three colors.
Yeah.
So all they do, like, when there's a set is just like, oh, okay, let's have a 3-3. It costs one of each color.
It's got something insane.
A keyword from that color, a keyword from that color, and a keyword right, from that color. Vigilance, that's white. Flying, that's blue. Haste, that's red. Bam, that's a card. Done. Next card. You can only do that for so long. This one is sick.
I'm really excited.
Yeah.
Don't call it Manus Rider then.
This is a very, very similar card to an old one called Lightning Angel.
It costs one less.
Except it costs one less and has one less point of toughness.
Ooh.
But Lightning Angel was a tournament powerhouse back in the day. It's a resilient threat, attacks, blocks, comes down immediately, does something as soon as it comes out. I think this card's really solid.
All right, how about this? I don't want to tread on Travis, the card designer, on his toes.
Sure.
I don't want to tread on Travis's toes. He's our card designer. But how is this card, right?
Yeah.
One swamp.
Yeah.
Fly spray.
Destroy.
That's it. Mantis Rider gone.
Destroy target mantis.
Even a mantis. He's the mantis rider.
Yeah, but if you kill
him, riding it.
If you kill the mantis, what's he got? He's just a guy. He's not even anything.
He's just a fella.
Yeah, he's just, I'm standing here with my spear. Just like a spear holder. Great. It's like a walking stick rack.
One to point out flavor text. This one's funny. Mantis riders know that their mounts don't owe them loyalty. Even a mantis that has been broken in for years would devour its rider if he ever loses its concentration.
It doesn't make sense. I was reading this flavor text. I was like,
it's because it was translated from another language.
So we haven't actually seen the official English one.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do think it's funny that he's like, yes, I'm riding a mantis into battle. I'll get distracted by an arrow. Ah, miss, and it just eats him.
Great, yeah. All right.
I feel like that the mantis might actually be better at unleashing on your enemies.
Yeah.
Thumbs up. You guys?
Yeah, I like it.
You agree?
This card is sweet. I will kill Xenagos with it many times.
Okay. So once you're over 300 kilograms, you need to pluck your belly button fluff and empty the pits.
That's fucking disgusting.
That's what can happen, man.
I just vomited in my mouth.
Hey, man. This is just some reality that we're facing here. Empty the pits is XX. Oh, three X's, and you know where we were heading. Yeah. And he's four swamps and XX. This is going to get interesting.
Yeah.
It's got a delve mechanic, which we'll get back to later on. And put X, 2/2 black zombie creature tokens into the battlefield tapped. Oh, this feels like an Estrad. What's going on?
Yeah, this is kind of like Army of the Damned.
I just can't see it.
Okay. It's a mythic rare as well, which is like a weird place for an
expensive.
It is so expensive.
It is an
How many zombies
it
are you
is an
get?
Instant. I'll give it that.
Okay. It is an instant, which is, I think, as soon as I saw this card, I was like, this card sucks. But then as soon as I saw it was instant, I was like, actually, I've played with cards that are similar to this before. The delve mechanic is the most important
bit
of this
card. It's
got
to be the way you can cheat this card, right?
So like, each card you exile from your graveyard while casting it pays for one mana. It can't copy the black mana, so you play Urborg in your deck. All your lands are swamps, or lands are swamps in addition to their other types. In this kind of deck, you just mill yourself.
Yeah.
Like with whatever, Seder Wayfinder, Commune with the Gods.
Does Delve allow you to exile cards? So you go, I'm going to exile this ton of cards here.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's not so bad then. 20
cards in your graveyard. Pass the turn with all your mana untapped. They're like, yeah, cool. Play some stuff, attack you with a creature, whatever. You go to 3. And then you're like, exile every card in my graveyard. Make 10 2/2 zombies at instant speed end step. It's completely doable.
Bio Blight.
Yeah, sure. Bio Blight.
Ken, don't ruin the party. Come in later.
But you untap and kill them out of nowhere. Yeah. You hit them for 20.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's pretty fun.
The fact that you can...
You've got to have Barblight in your hand.
You have to have Barblight specifically.
Yeah, there's always a card that you can say...
Detention Sphere's gone.
Any awesome card.
And also, like, I'm going to wait until you're tapped out to do this, obviously. But this could go in a control deck as well. Even one that doesn't self-mill. Because you play an Urborg or two, And then later on, you've played some counter spells, you've played some card draw, some fetch lands, which are in this set. Ooh, yeah. Fetch lands. And you've got...
Oh, yeah, because that's going to go straight into your...
Exactly.
Into your graveyard.
You've got 10, 15 cards in your graveyard. This just kills them out of nowhere.
It's too cute.
You think it's too cute?
It's like... Okay, so if you... If it's turn 5 and you can conceivably make 5 zombies, then I'm like, okay, that's fine. But like, what you're talking about, you're going to be doing that on like turn 10, turn 15.
Yeah. I would only play one or maybe two of this in my deck.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
I think it's like a new...
You can only do it once, can't
I think
you,
it's
really?
A new control deck finisher.
Mm. Or, you don't or think Elspeth's just better?
What rarity is this card?
This is mythic.
Mythic, yeah.
Yeah. This is the mono. This is the black mythic.
So, like, I can see where you're coming from, and I think there might be a space for that once Elspeth leaves. But at the moment, I feel like Elspeth is just better.
Elspeth just does it better. Like, this allows you to play tap out control. It allows you to play counter spells. It allows you to play instant speed removal. So you never have to tap out for Elspeth, and then they're like, yeah, cool, dragon kill you or whatever.
Yeah.
Because you can always counter it, kill it, and then when they pass the turn, you just... empty the pits and like make 30 zombies or whatever.
Great. Then the flavor text, the Sultai would rebuild the empire on the backs of the dead. And speaking of the Sultai or Sultai charm, he's a swamp, a forest, and an island. He's an instant. And you get to choose one of three options. Destroy target monocolored creature.
Ultimate price.
Yep.
Destroy target artifact or enchantment.
Naturalize, whatever.
Sweet.
Draw two cards, then discard a card. I hate that. I always hate that.
Careful study. I don't remember what that card. It might be. I don't remember what it's called.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. Not important. Right.
Is this? This is like the. Yeah. Well, it is a. I was going to say this is like the charms of Ravnica. And
it's
hey,
like the charms.
It's got that word in there. But this is a Sultai charm. Are we going to have a charm cycle again?
Yeah, we're going to have a charm in every set. They haven't previewed any of the ones apart from this, so I'm very excited to see what the other ones are going to be.
Okay, let's get this out of the way. This charm is sweet. This charm will see standard play. Some people are talking about modern. Other people are talking about
Legacy.
Is this
uncommon?
Yeah.
Legacy might be going a bit far. Like, this charm is sweet. When you're playing this in standard, if you don't have a mode for any of these cards, I'm not sure what game you're playing.
Yeah.
You know, like...
they have no permanence and you don't need more cards. Yeah.
It's like, mode 1, destroy target Pelucranus. Mode 2, destroy target Corsair Crucifix, which mode 1 also does.
Or like Vanishing Light
or whatever. Yeah, like, sweet. Sign me up. Mode 3, I would like to draw two cards because I'm short on land. Sweet. You know, like, at every single time where you can play this card, there will be a reason or a way that you can play it that is good. Mm-hmm. Now, give me the other charms because I want to see what they are, damn it.
Yeah, we're talking about what the blue, white, red one could be because, again, this design in the set is literally just sticky taping three different things. There's literally a black spell, ultimate price, a green spell, naturalize, and a blue spell, like, generic draw two, discard one. Yeah. And you just stick them all together and you're like, that's a blue, black, green card, yeah. But it's going to be really interesting to see what the really powerful color combinations do. Blue, white, red, we're talking about, like, damage, a counter spell, like a prevent damage thing, that could be ridiculous.
Oh, really? Like Ultra Fog.
Okay, maybe not the prevent damage. That's the shittest bit of it.
Ultra Fog and gain life.
It could be like the white mode could be like creatures you control gain lifelink. The blue mode could be like...
They already did that with Azorius Charm.
Oh, so what?
They don't like recycling the mechanics from previous charms.
Yeah. Maybe.
All right, well, we'll have to wait and see. Hey, we'll be reviewing the set soon. Well, bits of it. Mm-hmm. Right, a land card for something completely different. Sandstep Citadel.
Commander players just jizzed in their pants.
They just jizzed. It's a land, obviously. Sandsteep Citadel enters the battlefield tapped. And you, when it untaps, you can tap it again and add a plains, a swamp, or a forest to your mana pool.
So there's an entire cycle of these for every wedge every wedge that we're dealing with in this set, there's one of each, which is really sweet. Mm. These lands are going to be powerhouses in Limited. Could you conceivably be first picking them? I don't think
so. Yeah, so the last time that we did three colors was Shards of Alara.
Yeah.
And something that people realized as that format went on was that the better your mana was, the better your deck was. And it led to these kind of awkward things where you'd have to pick mana fixing. You'd pick a really powerful spell or creature first, and then second through fourth, you'd be looking at mana fixing. Like it's not great. Like, it doesn't feel good. But in limited, you want to pick up as much fixing as you can, because casting
does three colors. I mean, I've never seen that.
Never seen a land that does it. But these are uncommon. You're going to see them quite a bit in your packs. In shards, they were quite high picks. Like, second through fifth picks in booster draft.
I think all five color combinations, they're all going to have one of these.
Yeah. And even if you're only playing two of the colors, say you're playing.
You can splash for someone, right? Because you got this card.
Splash
for
something, and I would play this. I played Gates.
Guild Gates are sweet, you know, if you played Return to Ravnica.
So,
like,
I couldn't believe that, because we were so down on Gates when they first started, and then they just came around.
Yeah,
and it's like everyone was playing.
They craft the environment around the mana, as opposed to before, they make the mana around the environment. Now, I think they've got a better idea of it this time, so I'm going to be excited to play
with
this.
It's like Buddylands. Buddylands disappeared and just left us with Gates.
RTR. You didn't play with Shocks very often because they're rare. Uncommon.
And you didn't really pick them because, like,
no, it was just kind of
All right, last card on the spoilers.
Oh my god,
Sarkhan, the Dragon Speaker, 3 and 2 mountains. He's a planeswalker. Hello.
No, he's not. He's a dragon.
He's a planeswalker.
He's a dragon speaker.
He comes in with 4 loyalty points. +1. What have we got, Aaron?
Going up to 5. Until end of turn, Sarkhan the Dragonspeaker becomes a legendary 4/4 red dragon creature with flying, indestructible, and haste. And he doesn't lose loyalty when he's not a planeswalker.
Man. -3.
Sign me up. That's it.
Ken.
I'm done.
All right, what have we got?
He doesn't need to do anything else.
What have we got for -3, Ken?
-3, Sarkhan the Dragon Speaker deals 4 damage to target creature.
4 damage is pretty heavy.
Yeah.
And you can do that straight up.
That's you, Jay.
You can just knock something 4 out of the sky. Right, and his ultimate is -6, so you got to have him out there for, well, you
it's only
plus
two,
one him.
Two turns.
Yeah, 2 turns. You plus 1 him straight away, you plus 1 him the next turn, and then you get an emblem with, at the beginning of your draw step, draw 2 additional cards, and at the beginning of your end step, discard your hand.
So, the last time we saw Sarkhan, he was Sarkhan the Mad. Yeah. He had been in the story. He got
why are you mad, bro?
Corrupted by Nicol Bolas. That's why I'm mad.
He's been to the institution. He's back, and he's talking with dragons.
Yeah, he's returned to his home plane where no dragons live. He loves dragons.
Yeah.
And I think that last ability
is... I'll be your dragon.
Yeah, he's going to be your dragon for you. He's going to come down. You'll plus him, I assume. Hit them for 4 hasty, indestructible damage immediately. And
bye-bye,
he gives up
Nissa.
To 5 loyalty doing so. Like, I haven't seen a planeswalker this aggressive since Koth, who was a red planeswalker as well.
I mean,
he could turn your mountains into 4/4s to end of turn.
This +1, really sweet. Deals with Nissa on, like, the draw.
Yeah.
So, like, if they play turn 5 Nissa, you play turn 5 this, kill their Nissa.
Yeah.
And then they hit your sock and you're like, ha, hit you for 4.
Yeah.
I think this guy's got the cure to like any kind of positive symptom mental illness down, any kind of psychosis. Because, you know, if he's just sitting there talking to himself, you know, you get your run-of-the-mill mental health professional come and go, hey, man, he's responding to, you know, unseen stimuli. And he's like, no, I'm talking with dragons. I go, hey, buddy, dragons don't exist. My last name is Dragon Speaker.
Oh, sorry, my mistake.
Sorry, yeah,
my mistake.
Sorry, Mr. Dragon Speaker. I'll see you later.
Speculation.
Yeah.
The second set in Khans of Tarkir, Fate Reforged. Sarkhan's going to travel back in time.
Yeah.
To before the dragons were extinct.
With Michael J. Fox,
yeah. He's going to rent a DeLorean. No, he's going to go back in time and see the dragons before they were dead.
For
fun. Okay. I'm not sure why exactly.
He could take up a tour. Can he take people with him, like as a tourist guide sort of thing? I'd pay for that.
Tourists of Tarkir.
Yeah, Tourists of Tarkir. That's in the third set.
They haven't revealed the third name of the set yet.
That's what it's going to be.
Sarkhan's Traveling Tour Guides of Tarkir. Yeah.
I think we know why they're killing the third set now.
And we fucked up with Tourists of Tarkir. Let's get rid of it.
It's the broken side project that we're coming out. It's like a board game. You go around the outside, you see dinosaurs, you go back and meet Albert Einstein.
Now, what could possibly go wrong with a dinosaur theme park?
Nothing.
I wonder
nothing.
How big...
Oh, you've got a great idea for a movie there.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
How much would a T-Rex cost as a magic card, and what would its stats be?
6/6.
Yeah.
6/6?
Yeah, they've already printed it. It was in Scars of Mirrodin. It's called Alpha Tyrannax. It's just a 6/5 for 6. That's all it does. It's got tiny arms. It's not very. Doesn't have any abilities.
All right, we're losing speed here. I think the only thing we can do is Pod Blob come back with a bit of flavor text.
Flavor text.
Flavor.
I forgot my penny flute.
Flavor text.
Flavor text.
Flavor text. Flavor text. Flavor text. Flavor text.
Flavor text.
One day we'll do the theme tune for that instead of doing it live.
Instead of doing it live, yeah.
Can I have some of that for dinner? It sounds quite lovely.
It's flavorsome. Right, every single time we do this podcast, the Seven Line Hand Extra, we play flavor text. This is flavor text number 9.
Whoa.
Yeah. And what
How many
I do
times
is,
have I lost this? Sorry.
Never. Never. What? You always win.
What? I always win.
I feel like that's incorrect.
No, there was a draw.
Let me break down how we play this. I read out the flavor text off a card. Aaron, Kian, write down what the name is of the card, and then we score it up and something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Something along those lines. Okay, now, usually there's a theme, and I don't reveal that theme until the old ending of the flavor text. But today, I'm going to tell you what the theme is.
Okay, here we go.
All right. The theme today is gobbos. That's right, goblin cards.
Gobbies.
Ooh!
Gobbos.
So, I love goblins.
Ah, Kian's goblin
expert. I love gobbies.
Gobbos. Gobbies, gobbars.
It makes me kind of sad, though, because that means Stab Wound can't be one of them, because I want to stab Aaron.
With your knowledge?
Where did that come from? Yes. I'm going to stab you in the ear with my knowledge.
Okay, just produce a knife. That's quite disturbing.
Okay. See, Lloyd lives in, comes from a rough neighborhood. Okay.
Otherwise known as Buzzwood.
Are you ready? Are you ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, first flavor text today is bitten, save time, amputate now. And that was said by Lafar Loxodon Surgeon. Lafar, he was a Loxodon Surgeon.
What does an elephant have to do with goblins?
Yeah, it's a goblin card, and it's a quote, and it goes, bitten, save time, amputate now. Lafar Loxodon Surgeon.
Is there like a goblin doctor?
This is why I gave you the theme first.
Yeah, this is tough.
All right, second up. Are you ready?
Oof, yeah.
Okay, goblin cards. The more victims he kills, the more likely he is to get the right one. Yeah, I like that one. That's great, isn't it?
I feel like goblin assassin is a good guess.
A goblin's assassins are not smart enough to be assassins.
Actually, hold on. No, I think I've got this one.
Oh, no. Gonna lose.
All right. The more victims he kills, the more likely he is to get the right one. Nasty looking bastard, that guy too.
Oh, jeez.
Staring at him right now. In colour, by the way, whoever printed out the spoiler cards. Alright, and the last one, card number 3, goblin number 3. It's a quote. Yeah, it's by the guy in the picture. And he's saying, it's time for the smash smash song. It's time for the smash smash song. That's hard to say.
It's time for the smash smash song.
Oh my god.
It's time for the Smash Mouth song. Oh, shit. I thought if I sped up, it would be easier. But
oh,
no, not so.
God.
No, it's not that one, because he didn't have any flavor text.
All right.
How
are we feeling, guys?
This is rough.
I think I know what the card is called. Like, what the card's stats are, but I can't remember the name.
You can know what it's called. All right. We're rewinding to the beginning. This is looking good. I might have stumped you all on everything. All right, so I'll write this down. Aaron and Kian. All right, here we go.
Nah.
What have we got? Aaron, bitten, save time, amputate now. Lafar, Loxodon Surgeon. Who have you got?
So, it's a Loxodon. The last time I thought of Loxodon and goblins together, they were on Ravnica.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking of it's like a diseased kind of goblin, because he's all diseased and shit.
He has nothing written down. He's trying to work it out now.
I'm trying to...
I've got it.
I don't know if... did I help you? Shit. Mm-hmm. No, I've got to help myself, though.
You did help me. You actually got
zombie
me to it.
Zombie goblin.
Is there any
zombie goblins?
Come on, man.
No.
Clock's ticking.
Oh, God. He's not a goblin, though. Rakdos Cackler. I don't know.
That's
idiot.
A devil.
Yeah, it's a devil. Yeah.
All right, so let's put you have no answer for that.
My answer is Plague Goblin.
Plague Goblin. You're both wrong. It was Black Cleave Goblin.
Damn it.
From a set I don't recognize.
No. Oh, show me the...
Oh, I can't because you
no,
see
me.
One.
No, just show me. Don't show Kian. Yep. Mm-hmm, yep.
Yeah, what set's that from?
Scars.
Scars of Mirrodin.
Scars of Mirrodin.
That was the time before Return of Ravnica that Loxodon and Goblin were the same.
Yeah. So you've totally redeemed yourself.
And also, he's plagued. He's got infect. And haste.
He does.
Yeah, he's a 2-1.
You knew who we were talking about.
Yeah, Black Leaf Goblin.
All right. So it's nil all. Nothing. Yeah. Good. All right. The second card was, the more victims he kills, the more likely he is to get the right one. Aaron, what's your answer?
Can Kian give his answer first?
I definitely have an answer, so I think he wants to cheat.
No, don't we alternate who goes first?
No, don't change the rules. I've always gone with
what
you
is your answer, Mr. Graham?
My answer is...
is he guarding? You got to say
Spike Jester.
Spike Jester, right.
That could be a good one.
Who have you got?
Goblin Sharpshooter.
Goblin Sharpshooter.
Oh, God, no.
This I'm going to be so proud of, because this is the dumbest moment in flavor text ever. The answer is Goblin Assassin, which is what you said out loud during the friggin' contest.
Well, like, it's some sort of goblin assassin.
they're not smart enough to be assassins. Yeah, well, they are, because check it out, man.
Oh, shit.
Look, what's that from?
Legions?
Legions.
I should have written that
man,
down.
Man, I remember Goblin Sharpshooter. That card was sweet.
That makes sense. I think the flavor test for Goblin Sharpshooter is something else, though.
All right. Score check. Zero.
Zero to who?
Both of you. Yeah.
So I'm winning.
Yeah. Yeah. Kian's thrashing you.
We're tied for the lead.
Yeah. Okay. The final one is, it's time for the Smash Smash song. How does that go, Aaron? How does the Smash Smash song go?
Well, we smash, 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 smash the whole day. Okay. The only goblin I can think of that destroys artifacts is Tuk Tuk Scrapper from World Wake.
Tuk Tuk Scrapper from World Wake.
He's an ally. He's a goblin ally.
I can't remember the name of the card, but it's a 4-mana 6/6 that can't attack or block unless you control another goblin.
It was Goblin Chieftain from loads of sets, but I got the M12 one here.
Time for that's the shittest flavor text.
Okay. I have definitely... I own that card.
Yeah, I've owned that card as well.
From other sets, and it doesn't have that flavor text.
Hey, man, Smash Smash song.
It has it in M12. They were singing the Smash... Back in M12, we're all singing the Smash Smash song.
Come on, man. How could we forget?
Smash Smash, Monster Smash, we do the Smash Smash Smash.
Something like that, I think.
The Smash Smash Smash.
Oh, no, I can't say that.
Smash your face in.
Smash Smash. Right.
Okay, anyway.
That was flavor text. I hope you did better at home than we did here.
Oh, fucked that right up.
5 big questions about the new set, Khans of Tarkir.
Yeah.
Clan McClanics.
Sign me up for that.
Clan McDonald and Clan McClanics.
I'm Connor McClanic from the Clan McClanic. I was born in 1593 and I'm still alive to this day.
Do you punch bears on a regular basis?
I'm a bear puncher.
A banner puncher.
You must teach me your ways. There's a guy
in the BBC, one of the football podcasts from England. He rolls every single R. I asked one of my Scottish mates, I said, even in Scotland, you're taking the piss out of this guy, aren't you? Because he's finding R's.
Surely.
You know when there's words, I can't think of a word right now that has it, but there's words where you just skim right over it. And you might not even know that there's an R in there.
How do you roll an R?
This dude rolls an R every single time. It's bear, puncher.
Yeah.
You know, like that, like every single time.
Raid.
Yeah, he's just doing that. His tongue is pretty much always going, except he has to stop it every now and again.
Yeah, like...
So, basically what you're saying...
How does he say rural? How does he...
Oh, my God.
So, basically what you're saying is his wife is a very happy woman.
Tell you, when I get home...
Roll the R's again, Johnny. Roll the R's.
Say rural to me, baby. Say rural to me.
Oh, yeah.
Speak rural,
Plow
baby.
Plow that field, Speak baby. Rural. Plow that field. Okay.
Rural to me. Love it.
First mechanic we're going to talk about in the new set is Outlast. Is this deceptively good, and what does it do?
In what order do you want me to say
this? What does it do, and is it deceptively good?
So your face is deceptively good.
Yeah, it is deceptively good. Without makeup, I'm a shocker.
So Outlast is a mechanic from the Obzun. That's a black, white, green. And it's a mechanic that is always templated Outlast and then a cost. So Outlast, in this case, on Herald of Anafenza. Oh, we met Anafenza just before.
Yeah, we did. Lovely girl.
So Herald of Anafenza is a 1/2 for 1 mana with Outlast 2 and a white. And Outlast, after in brackets, says 2 and a white and tap this creature. Mm. Put a 1-1 counter on this creature. Outlast only as a sorcery. So okay. You have to not attack with this creature. You have to pay mana for it. And you put a +1/+1 counter on it. And that's all it does.
We've only seen two Outlast cards so far, though. And they've both been very good.
This one is a rare, so it has the extra ability. Whenever you activate Herald of Anafenza's Outlast ability, that's doing that shit, put a 1-1 white warrior creature token onto the battlefield. So you get a little something for your Outlast immediately. Yeah.
It doesn't have haste or anything, you know, with the 1-1 white warrior creatures. Yeah, it doesn't.
So, like, you don't need to be doing...
You're out of action for one round, really, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
And it's only...
You can't attack or block with it, because you can only do it as a sorcery. So this is one of those... I looked at it, I was like, this just looks
bad.
That's
how I feel.
Yeah.
For limited, nuts.
For limited, it's, like... This is... We're talking about the clan mechanics in limited. Yeah. And if the set ends up being slow, the black-white-green clan is all about... literally outlasting their opponent. The longer they stick around...
It's very flavorful.
Yeah.
For one of those cards that you get, you know, when you get it out there and then all of a sudden you realize, oh, I can never attack with this guy because I'm just going to die straight away. Mm-hmm. And you just go, he's a chump blocker. Yeah. Or I'm going to have to stick something on him. Mm-hmm. This guy can at least try to catch up.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's still going to cost you 3 mana.
It's
going to
cost you 3 mana each time, but you get a chump blocker out of it because you get the 1-1. So we're going to have to see
So for where... 3 mana, we're getting... 2-2, really. You know, like two power and two toughness onto the battlefield.
Onto the battlefield, yeah. And
2-3.
No. Yeah, I mean, we're saying you get two power and toughness.
Yeah. So that's what you're paying
which
for.
Which is pretty good for 3 mana. Like,
another thing to note is the other Outlast card we've seen so far has the ability on it, creatures you control with a +1/+1 counter have first strike.
Yeah.
And that's an uncommon.
And it has Outlast 1 and a white, so you just activate that.
Have an Outlast counter on them.
No,
just 1-1 counter.
Yeah, so...
When we saw
Anafenza before, you put a +1/+1 counter on another tapped creature you control whenever she attacks. There's all this kind of +1/+1 counter synergy going on within the clan, so I'm thinking that... Yeah, if this is a common, uncommon, and rare, you're going to have a lot of stuff that feeds into it, and it's looking like a sweet mechanic.
Right, so deceptively good?
Deceptively
good, God,
I wish
right
it was
around.
An instant.
I went right around the table on that one. All right, the second mechanic is Prowess. Is this one deceptively bad? All right, so what does Prowess do?
Prowess, whenever you cast a non-creature spell... This creature gets +1/+1 until end of turn.
Okay, so this is like a blue. Is this particularly just a blue?
It's in Jeskai, which is blue, white, red. This is the blue, white, red mechanic. And this is like the clan of ninjas and monks and that sort of stuff. And they're all like martial artists. So they have prowess whenever you cast a non-creature spell. They get slightly bigger, but only till end of turn. Like,
oh, yeah.
All of these things
I
are just
hate
kind
the
of like.
End of turn stuff.
Okay, one, in limited, you want to play 16 creatures and 7 spells, right? The 7 spells, say they make tokens or they pump your creature or something. Like, how many of them are you going to... How many prowess cards do you need and how many non-creature spells do you need before you're like, whoa, you're activating prowess every turn?
Well,
and then
okay.
Even then, if you're activating every turn, you're getting 1 extra damage out of it.
But, like, what if you have 4 creatures and they all have prowess?
Then it's good.
Like,
but
that's
then,
insane.
Yeah, but then what if you don't draw your non-creature spells? Well, obviously you are going to draw your non-creature spells, but, like, so, you need 4 creatures out, and then it, like, gives a buff to all of them.
So I think this mechanic's really good, because so far every card we've seen with Prowess has been fine on its own. So, like, there's a 2-mana 2-1 that's just... That's it. Like, it's a 2-mana 2-1 that has... prowess. This one here, Jeskai Wind Scout, it's a 3-mana 2-1 with flying.
I know, which is
prowess.
That's pretty good, though.
It's fine by itself. Yeah.
So, like, every card we've seen so far is good enough on its own. Mm. Like, you're not riding home, you're not windmill slamming, you're not first picking, but you are going to pick them up, you know, fairly regularly
can
and be
can
happy
ignoring
about it.
The no belching on the podcast rule there.
I was pretty underwhelmed by Evolve when I first saw it in Gatecrash, and they ended up being this insanely synergistic deck that you could just put together, and if you curved out, you would just kill them.
Yeah, it's always the if, though, isn't it?
It's always the if. Like, that's the problem with this one.
Again.
I don't see there's going to be some good commons and uncommons with it, but there's a blue-white-red rare that they just previewed that has, whenever you cast a non-creature spell, your creatures get lifelink till end of turn. I think they could have made this mechanic more interesting by saying, prowess, whenever you cast a non-creature spell, do this thing, rather than it only being +1/+1. Because they've templated it like this, all the prowess creatures will only ever get +1/+1 till end of turn. Which
well,
I think is
except
just
for the fact that they've already shown one case where the same thing that would trigger prowess, instead of this card having prowess,
yeah,
it does something
else. Why not make all of them prowess? Like it means that it's not going to be on many other cards, that thing. The life.
Maybe.
Thing,
I guess we'll find out.
Mm-hmm. All right.
How good this mechanic is depends on what tricks, commons and uncommons float around.
Yeah. So we haven't seen any. Still yet to see, but at the moment I'm out on this one. It doesn't look that great. It looks like you're going to have to jump through a lot of hoops.
Yeah, it's a jump through hoops, but you know, you've got some sort of way of putting a, you know, +2/+2 on this with a an instant or something like that.
Yeah.
He's going to get another +1/+1 for free.
It's just kind of incidental value.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. So are you happy with a 3/3 cost for a 2/1
yeah,
flyer?
Yeah, I do like flyers, yeah.
Is that Snapping Drake?
When you prowess it, but normally it's a Tower Drake.
Oh, right, yeah.
All right, the third mechanic we're doing, we talked about earlier on and said we'd get back to, and look at this, we come through, I tell you.
Yeah.
Delve. Does it go in every deck? So does every Delve card?
For limited, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
now,
Delve...
this is, I guess this is a funny thing because we are talking about it before we've got the bulk of the commons and uncommons, so we're trying to judge it based on what's been previewed so far. I don't know how much self-mill there's going to be.
But, there doesn't need
decks.
To be, right?
Even just heavy spell decks, yeah.
But there doesn't need to be, right? Like, Delve is perfectly reasonable if you're just like, I'm going to play my big dude for one less.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and during limited, cards are just going to go to the graveyard. You know, your bear trades with their bear, and then you've got one thing in your graveyard. You've played an instant, that's two. And then suddenly you're casting, you know, a card that on the face of it is like 9, but you're casting it for like 7 or 6.
Makes you feel better about chump blocking. You're going to get some more value.
Yeah.
And if there's like common and uncommon stuff that mills you, like if they just print like Sado Wayfinder, which...
Or something like that.
Yeah, then it gets better. And I think it's just... It's a thing that like you're going to be paying more for your spells, but... There's going to be the upside of sometimes you just pay a black for like a 4/4 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, we haven't seen everything yet, but...
It's like Delve is Graveyard Convoke, isn't
it?
It is Graveyard Convoke. That's exactly what it is. It's a sweet mechanic. I really like it. And it's a resource that you don't really think about in terms of just numbers, like taking numbers off your spells. But we do have to see what common and uncommon...
But does it just mean that they get a pretty... shitty card or a pretty ho-hum card and just charge heaps for it.
Yeah, like,
so, okay, but so you go, hey, but you could get it cheaper.
Look at this one. 8 mana, 7 and a black, shambling attendance. It's got Delve, and it's a 3/5 with Death Touch.
This one feels really weird.
Hey, Aaron, I've got an 8 cost mana card. He's a 3/5.
Oh!
And he's got Death Touch, don't worry about it.
Any other abilities?
He's got something about here. He says you might be able to get it cheaper.
No, I don't care.
No, but it's cheaper.
But it's
cheaper. You could get it cheaper. It's
I could pay 6 mana for a 3/5 with Death Touch?
It's like walking into the rug star and they go, store and they go, hey, everything's on sale. It's like, you know the rug store. Like, this rug's just $800. And when you talk to the guy, he goes, yeah, I can do it for $300. And you feel like you're getting a bargain.
Yeah, you're like, whoa.
Still a shitty rug.
Yeah. Also, it probably costs $300 and they just advertise it at $800.
Exactly.
Okay. So
that's how they get you.
That's how they get you. And that's what's happening with Delve.
It's a million mechanic.
Yeah. That's what they're doing with Delve, I think.
How would you feel about Delve, Aaron, if one of the lands yet to be spoiled was when it enters the battlefield, you mill 2.
I'd like that card a lot. That sounds sweet.
Like, maybe it's just a 2-mana Guildgate or, you know, a utility land. Like, obviously, I don't know, but, like, it just enters the battlefield, you mill 2. Does that make Delve better?
Yeah, but, like, we have to see the common and uncommon support I guess.
Before you get the true value.
Yeah.
All right. We've got the fourth mechanic here, which is called Raid. What does Raid do, and how excited are you about it?
So, Raid is the Mardu mechanic, which is the red, white, black clan.
What is your Mardu, Aaron?
My Ma is a nurse.
Oh, we've talked about that before, haven't we?
I think so, actually.
Okay.
She's also Chinese.
Right.
She fits right in with the Jess guy, then.
Well, that's really racist, man.
I know, but I told you my Chinese story for the week. I told you already, didn't I?
No,
I didn't tell you this. Look, I have, like, the gym. There's these two old naked guys. I already hate them because they're old and they're naked, right? I just rubs me up the wrong way every time. I can't help myself.
Up the wrong way every time you go to the gym.
That's it. But the other day, I go in there and they're naked and old, and they're having a chat, and they're very Aussie.
Whilst naked.
Why? They walk around all the time. They're like, they go for a shower, they get naked in the changing area, throw a towel over their shoulder, and then walk like 20 meters to the shower. And meanwhile, you're just walking in there, you're having a nice day. Oh, I'm about to have a workout. Oh, Jesus, did I have to see that?
I saw his penis again.
Oh, man. But it's not like, you know, he's hung like a bear or anything. It's not like he's walking around and you're going, I can see why you're walking around naked,
understand.
Man.
Yeah.
I understand now. Yeah. Anyway, two old naked guys, they're talking. One guy, he says to the other guy, he goes, what do you say? Oh, 50 or 60 years ago, 50 or 60 years, I was told, never trust the Chinaman. And the other guy goes, well, that held you true, didn't it? And I'm just standing there going, what the fucking racist assholes? And I was like, what the? And I couldn't even comprehend saying anything like, fuck you guys. Oh, I was going to get my, later on, I thought, this would have been cool. I was going to take a photo and like put it on Facebook and go, this is a racist old fucker right here.
Jesus
Christ. But, you know, hours later, I'm still in the cross trainer going, what the fuck happened there? You know?
Yeah.
And I just figured out, use the word Chinaman in a sentence and don't offend like a billion people. Yeah. Do we even have Chinaman anymore? It's like the most...
It's a Chinese person.
Or at least, yeah. It's like, oh, man.
Chinaman. Don't say Chinaman ever.
Man, they got me worked up.
Oh.
Those naked old guys.
Never trust a Chinaman.
But the other guy's not
like, whoa, that's a bit out of order. It's like... Yeah.
Yeah, but
that's right.
It was what he said. That held true. That held you true. Or something like that. It was just like, that's.
It's like, wow, it still holds true from 70 years ago when people were really racist and horrible to each other. That's still relevant now. Yeah, thanks for telling me that, man.
You know, when Keanu Reeves saw the Black Cat and went, oh, deja vu. That was like, whoa, what the fuck happened? I'm in a dingy room with a couple of naked old racist guys. It's fucking weird, man. What were we talking about? Raid.
Mardu mechanic. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
What's your Mardu? She's Chinese. Oh, that was his racist.
I'm going to fucking rant about this, man. Back to you, Aaron. What does Raid do?
Anyway, let's talk about this card here.
That was today's anecdote.
War name aspirant.
Right.
She have asthma?
No, she's got a
aspirant.
Headache.
Aspirant.
Heavy breather.
No, she's aspiring.
She's okay.
She's aspiring to become a worn name.
Worn name.
That name makes no sense.
Oh no, I did actually read the backstory of the clan, and you get given a new name when you prove yourself in battle. So she wants to aspire to get her war name.
Oh,
that's sweet.
In battle.
Oh,
yeah.
So okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's cool.
Flavor high five.
Yeah, man. I love flavor.
Wow. Real high five.
One in a red for a 2/1 human warrior.
Yeah.
Raid. War name aspirant enters the battlefield with a +1/+1 counter on it if you attacked with a creature this turn. So raid just triggers if you attacked with a creature.
Right.
And also it can't be blocked by creatures with power 1 or less. So this is just their generic, comes in as a 2/1. You've seen this design so many times before. Comes in as a 2/1 with some bonus if you did some other thing.
This is for bad magic players like me who forget about the second main phase. This is to remind you, cast this guy in your second main phase.
You're like, when you read it, you're like, how can I attack with a creature this turn if I cast my creatures before I attack?
Oh!
Wait a second.
What's going on, Aaron?
I've heard rumors.
Yeah, what is it?
There's a mythical land.
Yeah.
When you play Magic,
yeah.
Start of your turn, main phase.
No, uptake, yeah. Uptake. Then you got
upkeep.
Then you got the cast. Then you got cast your spell phase.
Draw. Then you have cast your spells. Then you attack, and then you just like, yeah,
that's it. Then it's your go.
I've heard about a mythical land.
Where?
It's called the second main phase.
Where would that live?
Ding! You just leveled up.
Yeah. Oh my god. There's this place called the second main phase after you attack.
You mean I can cast sorceries?
You can cast sorceries. Creatures.
Whoa.
You can outlast
in
your second main phase. Because there's a
what
second...
What if a card has vigilance and outlast?
Oh my god, wow. Oh, that would be sweet, actually. Oh. That would be really good. But anyway, yeah, you can cast things in your second main phase.
Yeah.
So, everyone please know that.
Not before combat.
I'm going to get asked so many judge questions about this because they're like, how can I do this? Like,
oh, really? Will still people do that?
People are going to ask me stupid questions about it.
Not stupid questions. There's no such thing as a stupid question, Aaron.
Yes, just, there is.
Just the question unasked.
Just the question.
Thanks, sir. Where's my apple?
How do I get a +1/+1 counter on this if I can only play creatures before I attack? Get out.
We'll put a sign on the shop door and be like, you're not coming in here anymore.
Oh.
Right. Okay.
This mechanic is sweet.
Oh, you like it?
It's a good mechanic.
Beautiful. It's just beautiful.
It's very,
and simple.
It's simple.
I
don't
like
know
the
if
simplicity
it's
of it all.
Yeah, but
like,
it's just it's
beautiful in its simplicity.
All right, sure.
Well, it's a three. Look, this guy's a 2/2/1, but he's really a 2/3/2.
But like, you have to have a 1-drop that attacked.
Oh, of course.
For you to cast it on turn 2.
Yeah.
So good for constructed, not so much in limited. This particular one.
Oh, I mean, one of the other cards that was spoiled was a 4-mana 2/3. If you've attacked with a creature, deal 2 damage to a creature or player. I'm like, yep, sign me up.
That one's awesome. But,
if you're playing Constructed and you've got a solid bank of 1-drops, you back up with this. You're paying 2 mana for a 3/2.
Yeah. What's that guy's name? Fire Drinker Seder, the 2/1 for 1 red mana?
Yep.
That one on turn 1, attack for 2 on turn 2, play this guy. You've got 5 power on the board on turn 2 before play a scry land. You're like, 5 power!
I mean, bang, win. Also, like, not unrelevant, this cannot be blocked by Sylvan Carrotid.
Also can't be blocked by Elspeth tokens.
Yeah, which is sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Power 1 or less. Yeah. Okay.
Can't be blocked by Corsair of Krufix, though.
Okay, the final mechanic we're just going to have a sniff at today is called Ferocious. Ferocious is new to Crater's Claws. This is the card. What we're looking at Crater's Claws here, which is a ferocious card.
Mm-hmm.
What rarity is that?
This is a rare. This is a normal
okay.
rare.
Just rare. This is pretty serious,
this
isn't it?
This card is
pretty freaking serious.
It's like a massive hand coming up out of the ground. What does Crater's Claws do?
I just wanted a high five. Your hand's made of lava. I can't high five you. It'll burn my hand off. High five! And then he squashes you with lava.
Because his hands are so big.
And it's made of lava.
It's like the Mantis Rider being high-fived by us. We go, yeah, high-five, Mantis Rider! Oh, shit.
Oh, my Mantis Rider.
I've just got green goo up my fingernails.
Good attack, Mantis Rider.
No more high-fives. Like, team play. Let's attack! Go, Mantis Rider! High-five! I'll just attack by myself.
Oh, shit.
Crater's Claws. What have we got? X and a mountain. It's a sorcery. Crater's Claws deals X damage to target creature or player.
Done. Nice.
That's pretty serious. Ferocious. Crater's Claws deals X plus 2 damage to that creature or player instead if you control a creature with power 4 or greater. So late game, big burn.
Yeah, it's
in standard. People are going to die to this so much because they're just going to be like, I'll tick up my Xenagos, make infinite mana, burn you for 15.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So
sign me up.
It's very, very easy for this to get out of hand.
Noah Bradley did the art for it as well. So we've got
really?
The color here. So I reckon that's going to look... It looks pretty good now in black and white. Bradley's photo. That's going to look... I reckon that looks sweet because Noah Bradley often, you know, comes with the goods. He does some good stuff.
He's got a few ones in the set. He did one of the I think he did the blue white red land as well. No, the blue white red one. The red white black land.
Oh, sweet.
Looks really nice.
I think we're all still happy about Drowning in Sorrow.
The Drowning in Sorrow. Yeah,
I hated that artwork.
Did you?
Really?
Yeah.
No way.
Oh dear.
Man, that guy was just trapped under something heavy, wasn't he?
Yeah.
The clouds had skulls in them.
Yeah. And he's just fucking sad.
He's really sad.
He's
literally
drowning in sadness. And it gives him -2/-2 to end of turn. Yes. Yeah. I guess it's a depressing piece of artwork. Is that why you don't like it?
Ferocious.
Yep. Yeah, okay. It's fucking depressing. It's really sad.
Ferocious.
When I lose a draft, that's what I look like. I'm just like, fuck. Skull clouds.
Are you going to hate losing to Ferocious?
Ferocious.
It's going to happen a lot.
Ferocious is a weird template. It's ripped off from the red, white, green mechanic from Shards of Alara, which was power 5 or greater. They brought it back for Tima, which is Lima with a T, which is the red, which is the red, green, blue mechanic.
Right.
So
it's also more realistic too. Like,
it's much more realistic.
4 power is much more
achievable.
Much more achievable, mm-hmm. especially at like three mana. Like we've.
Yep.
we have already seen one card from the set with 3 mana, 4 power. There's another one at rare. We've seen them at uncommon and common before as well.
You've got Outlast cards, which are going to be green, and they'll go in the red green decks and stuff as well. So Ferocious is just gives you some ability, but then a bonus if you control a creature with power 4 or greater. And it's going to be so like so easy to turn this on in limited. Yeah. You play like a 4-2, and all of your Ferocious spells are just huge.
The tap Temur, out, drop a mountain, bang, just hit you for loads.
The Temur Ascendancy is a good example. So, like, it's an enchantment that has one of each of the colors. So, blue, red, green. Creatures you control have haste. It's an enchantment. Whenever you play a creature with power 4 or greater, you draw a card. Sweet.
That's just, it's really good.
Yeah.
Solid.
All right, that was mechanics for Khans of Takir.
We've got so many more spoilers coming up next time as well.
Yeah, so many more. All right, we're going to be back with MTG Card Quiz.
MTG Card Quiz, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 11
and 12 and 13.
Yeah, we've done our homework there as well. Still haven't come up with lyrics for the second half of that.
just feed us out after 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11,
Sesame Street are
going to
ring up one day and just go, stop it.
13.
That's a like, stop it.
Yeah. Big Bird's
Sesame
on there.
Street.
Big Bird's on there just like, stop it. Big Bird, is that you? Yeah, Snuffleupagus is coming around. Just fucking give away my... Stop doing our fucking tune, man. I want royalties for that shit. Okay. MTG Card Quiz. This one's got a theme to it as well.
Are you going to tell us the theme? It's on your outpatient notes.
I know. Whoa, don't say that. I just drew up those at home. I didn't get them from work. All right. MTG Card Quiz number 9. This has sort of got a theme to it, right? The theme is, which set am I?
Ooh.
Okay.
Oh,
I'm going to give a bit of a description, and you've got to tell me what set it is, all right?
Cool. I love it.
Okay. Question number 1. Released in 1994.
Oh, fuck.
Aaron's like, no!
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, when you were born. I have
when I was actually born.
Yeah. Were you born in 94?
Yeah. Born in 94. He's like a child.
That's I was zero when this came out.
Let's not lose momentum on these awesome questions. Released in 1994. I have, and it wasn't Kian's dad's sperm, because that was released in 93.
Kian's dad's sperm.
That was more of that was a 93 release, if I...
2 points for originality.
By the time I understand it was pretty stale.
Does your dad listen to this show? Hey, Kian, you're not doing that podcast anymore.
That old guy's really creepy.
They ripped up my sperm for like half an hour.
They're talking about my jizz, hon. It's like, this is what the kids doing these days. But anyway, MTG Card Quiz. Released in 1994. Sounds dirty now, doesn't it? Right. I have 119 cards and use the mechanics Sacrifice, Tribal, and Poison. I'm sure you MTG.
What?
MTG experts will have that nailed. Released in 1994, I have 119 cards and use the mechanics Sacrifice, Tribal, and Poison.
I thought Poison first came around like...
Don't say something like Goblin Assassin again, right? Guess what? It probably came back, didn't it?
I think it was some kind of
now we're talking
Goblin
about his dad
Assassin.
Again. His dad came back as well. You got any brothers or sisters?
How did he get born if he came on a back?
Skeet, 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 skeet. Question number 2. I am a first set of the block release. In December 2005... I was the first retroactively released set on Magic Online.
Ooh.
I'm a first set of the block release. In December 2005, I was the first retroactively released set on Magic Online.
2005. That was 9 years ago.
And it was the first one, and it came out in 2005.
Seven Land Hand, also maths.
How old?
What year was I in school?
Fucking hell.
Well, I played Magic throughout school.
Well, you were in kindy for like 4 years, so.
Shut up.
All right, question number 3.
Kindy for 4 years?
Yeah, quick on the uptake there, Aaron.
Sorry.
All right, question number three starts off real tough. The first two words of question number 3 are Bill Rose.
Head of R&D before Aaron Forsyth? Yeah.
Bill Rose. Really? Bill Rose was, because which set am I? Bill Rose was my lead designer, Devin Lowe the lead developer. With the tagline, five worlds share one fate, I hold the first appearance of the Mythic Rare. You got that? Bill Rose was my lead designer, Devin Lowe the lead developer. With the tagline, five worlds share one fate, I hold the first appearance of the Mythic Rare.
Yeah, I think I've got that one.
All right. Well, the score, just to reflect, is 0-0 after flavor text earlier on. So, we're looking for some excitement here. People will be wriggling in their chairs at home, I'm sure.
I've probably gotten all of these wrong.
Oh, that's what we like to hear. Confidence. Let's go. All right, Aaron, kicking it off now. Which set am I? One, released in 1994. I have 119 cards and use the mechanics Sacrifice, Tribal, and Poison. What do you got?
The Dark.
The Dark.
Seriously? That was a set name?
Yeah, they weren't very creative with their set names. It was literally like, The Dark.
The Dark. Kian, what have you got?
Arabian Nights.
Arabian Nights. It's 1-0 to Aaron. It was The Dark.
Yes!
Well done.
I got a point today.
He's got a point, yeah. Question number two. I'm a first set of the block release. In December 2005, I was the first retroactively released set on Magic Online. Oh. Kian, let's go to you.
Wait, sorry. Was it, before confirming, was it, excuse me.
Yes.
Was it retroactively released in December 2005 or was it originally released in December 2005?
In December 2005, I was the first retroactively released set on Magic Online.
Oh, no.
Ravnica, City of Guilds.
Ravnica, right. Okay.
The original one.
The original Ravnica, before we returned.
I'm also going to go with Ravnica, City of Guilds.
You're also going to go with Ravnica. You're both wrong. It was Mirage.
Mirage. Sure. Okay, yeah. I understand, yeah.
Okay.
Because that's a quite old set, but then they brought
it back
the old
for Magic
sets
Online.
Back in Magic Online very slowly.
Yeah. Retroactively, someone could say.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps me, 5 minutes ago.
December 2005?
Yeah. How did you know that?
Oh,
you should have thought of that earlier.
Oh,
no, it's the what?
Mirage.
2-0 to Aaron. Okay, this is how you tie it up, Kian. This is your way back in. Aaron for the win. Bill Rose was the lead designer. Devin Lowe, the lead developer. Five worlds share one fate was the tagline. First time we saw the Mythic Rare. Aaron, what do you got?
This is very interesting, actually, because this set was actually split into five sub-teams to design each of the worlds, because each of the shards of Alara had very different personalities.
Right. Damn it. Me and Aaron are going to be tied because I've also said Shards of Alara.
Shards of Alara is the correct answer, guys. So, yeah.
Woo-hoo!
We end 2-1. And Aaron still undefeated after 9 months of this shit.
The Dark.
That was the worst answer. 9 months. You've been listening to this at home.
Kind of like Kian's sperm regretting its choice. Not Kian's sperm, Kian's dad's sperm. I've messed up the joke.
You had a joke, you screwed it up. We have something different now in the form of cross-podcast pollination. We're hoping to build a pod Voltron by asking our good friends over at Matt and Mattingly's Ice Cream Social a set of jock versus nerd questions. By good friends, I mean people we met on the internet.
Of course.
So we'll probably have to get involved in an awkward marriage. It'll probably followed by difficult visa negotiations applications. Mm-hmm. But hey, these guys are in Vegas, so that'll be a strong one. That'll help us out. All right, Matt and Mattingly host a hilarious podcast twice a week. They use less knob jokes and less puns than we do, so it's proper quality stuff.
Less puns?
Less puns. They hate puns because puns are shit, right? And we just lean on them really heavy. That's our problem. Each podcast, Matt Donnelly, who's Penn's Sunday School MVP, all around nice guy, and resident jock. Remember that? He's a resident jock. And Paul Mattingly, who's the resident nerd. Remember that bit as well?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You can see where jock versus nerd's heading, can't you? They ask each other questions from their respective specialities. That's right, guys. Nerdism is on its way up. It's a speciality now. So, for us. All right. This week, we'll be posing the jock questions. And Kian and Aaron have posed... Oh, I'll be asking the jock question. And Aaron will be asking the nerd question. So here goes. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
This is the jock question. Don't answer.
Do we get to answer it as well?
No. Don't answer it.
We won't answer it on the podcast, but afterwards.
Afterwards, I'll let you know how it goes. Right. So, all right, here we go. This is the jock question, which will be directed at Paul. All right. I, myself, was born in a place called Morecambe, England. Right, and I never realized how ridiculous that was. My whole life, I thought, Morecambe. All I'm saying quickly is Morecambe. And I only realized Morecambe, that in the context Morecambe. This podcast. After nearly 43 years, I just realized I was born in Morecambe. But I'll leave that.
You're also born because of Morecambe.
That's true. Okay. Now, in Morecambe, said quickly, it's fine, right? In Morecambe, they have a football, soccer team.
Soccer team.
That's my Vegas accent. They have a soccer team at the top of the fourth tier of the English Football League. This year, they're absolutely smashing it. I'm very proud of them.
Nice.
Yeah, but what is their nickname? Now, the clue to this is that Morecambe is a seaside town. And I'd just like to also add, these are fully grown men playing football as seriously as possible. And
not. Surely not.
No.
Surely
well,
not.
Let's just, we'll throw that over to Paul. All right, Aaron, what's the nerd question
okay,
you
we're
have
gonna,
lined up?
We're going to go with our specialty. We're going to do a Magic the Gathering related sure. question. So in Magic the Gathering, every creature has creature, dash, and then types. So we've looked at some today. Human warrior is an example of one of the ones that we showed before. Sure. You get like cat wizard, or I think there's a cat wizard. Anyway, as of the set release of Journey into Nyx, which is a real set that came out, there are 228 creature types in Magic.
Name them all.
Okay.
No.
Anurid.
Yeah.
Okay. The question is, name four of these creature types that begin with the letter L.
Well, that should be
challenging. Pretty easy. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Other questions that we're going to say are...
No, don't go there. Don't go there. They have...
Sad.
No, I'm sure they have an explicit tag. But... Okay. Anyway, best of luck, Matt and Paul. So if everyone else, including all of our listeners, tune into Matt and Mattingly's Ice Cream Social. It's actually really fucking funny. I've cried myself to sleep many a night for all the right reasons as I've listened to that. Yeah.
From laughter. Funny.
Yeah. It's so funny. I wish I was
so weary.
Funny. Yeah. So wearing. I'm so lonely. Yeah, you can find it on iTunes, and hopefully they'll respond soon, and you can hear how they respond to that. So follow Matt at Sweet Matty D and Paul at the famous Paul. They're Twitter, you know, in America where Twitter works.
Yeah.
Unlike us, we can't get Twitter
catch
to work.
The Twitter thing in Australia.
No. All right, so now back to the rest of Seven Land Hand. Housekeeping.
Hey.
take eight. Fuck, this is the easiest bit of the podcast, and we've fucked it up like eight times.
Okay.
All right. Housekeeping says Super Series is back. When, Aaron?
September the 7th, which is tomorrow.
Which is tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
So when listeners get this, it's probably yesterday.
Yep.
So
it's going to be me and Kian in the final.
Yeah.
We'll be playing a mono red mirror match. We just made goblin decks. It's standard, by the
way. Standard. That's what I'm looking for. Yeah. Are you going to interview yourself if you win?
Yes, in like a golem kind of way.
Win.
Where I'm on the left of the screen going, how was your deck today? And then I'm on the right of the screen being like, ah.
Good. That sounds excellent.
He also didn't win.
If you completely suck, are you going to leave the tournament early and leave us without an interview?
No.
Thank you, Aaron. We missed the interview last video. Yeah. All right. Hey, we've got some listener feedback. I don't even know how we're going to work this out, but oh, man, listener feedback. Guess
no,
what? Aaron?
Yeah. Don't say it.
Hey, Kian,
don't
guess,
do it. It's surely not.
Oh, man, guess what?
No.
We got one from Tim the Meat Axe.
Not the Meat Axe.
High five, Tim. Yeah. That was, he's not
was
here.
Is he here? Oh, no, he's not here. That's really weird. I don't know how you did that.
This is from Tim the Meat Axe. He said, my Seven Land Hand brooch of honor stabbed me in the thigh. Better hope this doesn't happen again. I don't know if that's is that a threat?
It is. That's definitely a threat.
I don't like how he called it a brooch either.
Clearly a badge.
It's a badge. Yeah. But he'd know. He's the Meat Axe.
He would.
I'm glad he did stab himself in the Meat Axe.
I'm pretty sure most comments that he leaves on our wall are threatening.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Come to think about it,
I can hear someone like scraping against the window.
That's a bird of some kind.
It sounds like a meat axe being rubbed against glass.
A bird. It's a plane. It's Tim Meat Axe.
It's the Meat Axe. So I'm sorry, Tim. I'm sorry that you stabbed yourself in the thigh. But we hope it doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
As well.
He was also pretty upset that we missed a week.
I'm glad that I did. He was very upset we missed last week. He'll probably find benefit because I dipped all of the pins on the badges in tetanus before we hand them out.
Why do you have a vial of tetanus?
It's always handy to have a vial of tetanus.
To dip badge tips.
Don't leave home without it. It's like an American Express card. Ooh, tip. Hey, we might get sent money from American Express.
Yes.
Just because I said that. All right. Do you want to take us through? We had a comment from Lyle.
Yeah.
This is the first time from Lyle, isn't it?
First long-time listener, first-time responder.
Yeah, so he's going to get himself a Hyper Magic Nerd card.
Excellent.
I'm going to meet X because he didn't call it a badge, and I just called it a Hyper Magic Nerd card.
Yeah.
I want one of those. Where's mine?
Hyper Magic Nerd card?
Yeah. Anyway, what did Lyle say?
Lyle said, thought you guys might be interested to know that a segment of the podcast exists as an actual magic card. Let's see what he's talking about.
Yeah.
The card is called My First Tome. It is an artifact. It costs one mana, and you can pay one mana and tap, activate the artifact, as well as saying the flavor text on a card in your hand. So this is from Unhinged.
Yeah.
So after you pay those abilities, one mana, tap, say the flavor text on the card in your hand, target opponent guesses the card's name. You may reveal the card. If you do reveal the card and your opponent guessed it wrong, you get to draw a card.
Oh, that's super sweet.
That's awesome.
That's why it's unhinged.
Yeah, it's so
what we're learning here is they've ripped off flavor text, but sort of by using some sort of future side.
Yeah, retroactively.
Futuractively. What's the opposite? Futuractively. Yeah, that's
or
it.
Or unretroactively.
So
they've listened to the podcast when it's super famous and shit in the future, gone back in time. To when they were designing Unhinged.
Yeah.
Put it on My First Tome. That's some kind of... That's making fun of us in some way, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And just blatantly ripped it off. So, yeah.
So,
what is
lawsuit?
My First Time?
Oh.
I see what they did there.
Yeah. Tome.
And the flavor text on this card is... This card is called Flavor... My First Tome.
Is it really?
It is.
Oh, okay.
This card is called My First Tome. Because I was going to put it into flavor text for today.
Oh, really?
And I thought it would just be my...
Literally
this card
the
is,
most obvious flavor
yeah,
text.
Yeah, of course. All right. And the final question... Oh, no. We've got two more questions.
Yeah.
This one, you're going to have to be thinking caps on for... this is a question from Axel. He said, I have a question for the podcast.
That's not a very good question.
No, that's a statement. Which is immediately followed by a question. This is the question, right? Would you rather have sex with an octopus for one night every week or give birth to a batch of frogs with the same frequency?
So would I rather have sex with an octopus once a week or give birth to a batch of frogs once a week?
How many frogs is a batch?
Well, that's a good question.
Long is the gestation period for the frog?
Well, a week, obviously, because you're doing it every week.
Oh, no, but
aren't they just spunking out eggs and then the man frog comes and like...
Sperms them. He just jizzes in a general direction.
Yeah,
and
they're all lazy like that, aren't they?
Basically, once a week, I get to shit eggs or have sex with an octopus.
Shit? No, they come out of your pee hole.
Something like that. All right, Aaron. What do you reckon, Aaron?
So many questions. The first question.
We don't know how frogs have sex. That's the first question.
I think they jizz on the egg.
There's not a lot of frog porn around, is there? There's a lot of frog spawn around. Oh.
Frogs porn, but frogs, lots of frogs porn.
Ah, feel some education. Right after this, we're going to do some serious Wikipedia-ing on frogs bonking each other.
Do I get to warm up the octopus before I have sex with it, or is it like ocean fresh cold octopus?
Where's the octopus bits? Because they have that nasty beak.
They've got a fucking beak made of bone.
You don't want to jam it in there because
no.
You ain't getting it back.
So, is it warm or is it cold?
It's a living thing.
No, no, but it's not a mammal though. It's not warm blooded.
Oh, shit. There's so little we know about
blood?
Biology.
I'm not sure we're qualified.
How can they move without having blood?
I get to have sex with something. So sex with an octopus, done.
Right.
That's my answer.
Kian, what are you doing?
Get to have sex with something. Octopus.
yeah,
game of nerds. We'll sex anything. There we go. It's unanimous. Axel, thanks for the question. And quickly grabbing the phone and talk amongst
frog
yourself.
Or octopus.
Have sex with a frog or an octopus?
Yeah.
Or would I rather be a frog or an octopus?
Let's go both.
Okay, I would rather be an octopus because they're very intelligent and can squeeze themselves in odd locations. There's some videos on YouTube, you should watch it. And that's also why I'd like to have sex with an octopus. Bam, done.
Ooh. Oh, how about you? Right, here we go. Here, I found it. It was on my phone. It's a question from a girl. You remember what they are? Anyone?
I haven't met them yet.
We just bragged about like how much we'd love to have sex with an octopus. So.
That's right.
I don't know what my girlfriend would think of that.
That
was a save so that people don't think I'm insane.
Yeah. She'd think it tasted salty afterwards. Oh. Jody said, what's the rough ratio of males to female gamers?
In what gaming profession?
Probably just gamers. She's just saying gamers. This is a part of a two-part question.
Okay. Cool.
Okay.
So first part of the question, this seems quite serious.
What's the rough ratio of male to female gamers?
There's a lot of girl gamers that aren't... active in their communities and playing lots of things. Like
at-home gamers. Yeah,
I can think of 10 people that play Magic that are female.
10. Yeah, and how many men can you think of, Kian?
3,000
billion of them. so that's your proportion.
I think it's about 2 to 1. But
really?
But
two males to one female.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But a lot more of the females are casual.
Yeah, but casuals can sound derogatory. If you're just talking about gamers, girls game as much as guys game.
Electronic gaming and like narrative themed gaming, board game sort of stuff. There's tons of girls play that sort of stuff. It's almost like one to
I know,
one.
And I've gotten a lot of girls into board gaming and like it a lot more than some guys do.
Sure.
And I have a lot of girl friends who are really into video games and stuff, but they're not as like. Don't go out and play video games around their mates' place and stuff. No. They just play games.
But they get
like,
they get quite attached to games. They really enjoy them and seem to take it to a different level than us guys do, don't they? Mm-hmm. They like really seem to get into the narrative.
Really, I
enjoy the narrative of the sort of games that are like good games sell, and that's what makes me play those sort of board games. But so I can really appreciate that how they sort of get into the vibe of the game. You know, mm-hmm. like if it's a horror themed game, they seem to be really engrossed in that.
More so involved than guys.
Yeah, guys
might be
in. Yeah, if we're going to draw broad stroke stereotypes, it's more like they'll go for the strategy of it and trying to win it.
Yeah.
Where me and the girls, we go like, this is cool. I'm playing a horror game.
Yeah.
You know, this is great.
Magic, I'd say it's like 20 to 1.
Yeah, nah.
At least
no. Nah. 5 to 1.
5 to 1.
5 to yep. 1.
They just don't come to FNM. Like,
they just don't play a lot of tournaments and stuff.
Like, they love Commander. Like, at the GPs and stuff, I do so much trading with female Magic players, and they just love their Commander deck.
Oh, I guess I'm talking about competitive.
It's that attachment again, probably, as well.
Yeah. Like, they love playing casually with friends. They love just... They don't play Standard. They just play with
any
cards
that they
own.
I don't have any girlfriends
that
like to play casually with me. I just like... I'm willing to try, girls.
Willing to try. Yeah. Putting it out there. But competitively, though, I think the competitive environment can be a bit harsh and nasty. And
smelly.
That's what I was talking about. The 20-to-1 ratio, that's probably high.
Smelly guy gamers. Accurate. Smelly guy gamers, you're responsible for keeping girls away. And the second
Among
part,
many billion other reasons.
Yeah. The second part of Jody's question, I think you'll enjoy a lot more. I think this refers more to role-playing. Do gamers ever want to have sex with their characters? And the answer would be yes.
Yes.
Because we're shagging octopi, octopuses.
Yeah, octopodes.
We're shagging octopussy.
Whoa. A fair...
Oh.
James Bond jokes.
A fair few of my characters in MMOs have been female, and I would go there.
Yeah. In role-playing,
that's
pretty
odd.
Much... If
Why did you pick that character, then?
No, but that's the thing. If there's five guys playing doing role-playing, and one of them decides to do a female character, for the rest of that game, the other four guys trying to shag the female character, even though it's on paper, and it's like, roll and dice means nothing.
Really?
It's like, I know, it's mad. And it's still the ugly fucker that's sitting across the table from you, but it's like, I'm trying to shag you right now.
That did...
Roll a charisma check.
That did actually happen in my D&D game.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Well, I love the way the campfire glints in your eyes.
Actually...
David, stop! It's me!
Actually...
No! Get into character, Aaron!
No!
Oh, I love the way your breasts are armored.
Oh, my God. David, I'm right here.
Funny story about D&D.
Yeah, my face is up here. Sorry, Ken.
The one D&D game I've ever played... One of the funniest things that happened is one of the people was a female. She had a male
That's
character. And then one of the other guys was male who had a female character.
Yeah.
And they slept together.
Well, yeah.
That's
weird. In Fantasyland.
No, that would feel right, though.
The male pursued the woman.
Yeah. All right. So remember, if we read out any of your questions, you'll get a Hyper Magic Nerd badge. I think we should even be sending a Hyper Magic Nerd badge over to the guys at the Ice Cream Social.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, we'll have to find a way to get it to them without them feeling like they've divulge too much information, like their home addresses. We all know Kian will be around
there. PO box or something.
Kian will be around there shagging an octopi in their octopus in their driveway before they know it.
I was going to say octopi sounds quite lovely.
Yeah.
I'd eat one of those. Pie that has lots of...
Eight. Exactly eight, not
octopi
lots.
Octopi pie.
Next week, we'll be back talking Seven Wonders with Matt McHale.
Seven Wonders on Seven Land Hand.
Yeah, oh, the sevens everywhere. All right, well, that's just about that. We've wrap it up, eh?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Come back with a sign-off from Mr. Aaron.
Yeah, like...
No, come back after the blob. Don't get... Hold your horses, man.
Just what? But I've got...
No, blob, now.
So, the leader of the Mardu clan, they've just released. He's in the Speed versus Cunning Duel deck, available at Good Games now. His name is Zergo Helm Smasher. And
Yeah,
I thought that was a pretty stupid name for a guy, because it's just like, you're like, okay.
Is Zergo one of those guys? It's like, Flash, bah!
Send back Zergo and Ajax to bring back his body.
Zergo, Helm Smasher.
So we already have 40 nails to save the world.
Sorry. So his job, something he's very good at, smashing helms. I assume that's why his nickname got there. So I thought of some nicknames if we became the leader of the Mardu clan.
Yeah.
I'm Aaron Caffeine Consumer.
Yeah.
That's good. That's fearsome. Strike fear into the heart of enemies.
I can hear the lamentations of their women now.
Yeah. Okay. David, you've been promoted to the leader of the Mardu clan. Your name is...
Yeah.
David Magnum Sandwich Eater.
Yeah, because we eat ice creams here too. It's not just a soda. We're ice cream in laws with the ice cream
social.
We do love
that ice cream. And Kian, you've just been promoted. You're leader of the...
Ass Bandit.
Yeah, the Ass Bandit gang. Kian Savage Sayer.
Yes.
Because he says savage all the time.
Red That's Bull savage.
Red Bull Cancer. I'm also going to leave you with my deck list for the week. It's a Jund deck.
What's that? Your dick list this week?
My dick list for this week. Yeah. I'm just going to read it up to you. 4 thick-skinned goblin. 4 skin brand goblin. 4 skin render. 4 skin shifter. 4 skin thinner. 4 skin wings.
Yeah. I'm going to circumcise this podcast right now.